For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
We are 33 days away from WrestleMania. At the first ever edition of Monday Night Raw in Brussels, Belgium, heel John Cena made his appearance in the ring, and quite frankly, he cut one hell of a promo. And first things first, he did not say anything that was untrue. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ringside Chaos. This is the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and 6ix9ine Radio. My name, of course, is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. And there was no better way to start off with John Cena to kick off Raw. The whole entire segment lasted nearly half an hour. And when segments last this long, most wrestling fans certainly get annoyed by it. But this particular segment, well, it was worth the time. John Cena's entrance, of course, to a loud chorus of boos. They were booing him out of the building, and believe it or not, some fans were actually cheering. Of course, there was that chant, "Let's go Cena, Cena sucks." Not to mention, at one point, there was even a "fuck you, Cena." Well, just "fuck you." At one point, they were calling him a motherfucker. And I think at one point, after saying something about what do we get, if I'm correct, I think the fans said, "We want nothing." If I'm correct, I mean, the fans were cheering a lot of things, and the fans were really letting John Cena have it. No joke right there. I was so caught up, I mean, I was so amazed that I wasn't catching everything, but I know for a fact that the fans chanted, "Fuck you and motherfucker," to John Cena. John Cena basically said that for the past 25 years, he had been in a, in his words, an abusive relationship, of course, between him and the fans. Now, it is true. For a very long time, the fans have, in fact, been booing him, a lot of times heavily. I mean, at one point, when John Cena was so popular, he was just getting heavy, heavy cheers. I think it was probably around 2006, 2007, when he was starting to get those boos. I think at WrestleMania 22, in the main event against Triple H, when Triple H was actually the one getting cheered and John Cena was being booed, maybe that's when things actually started to go. Now, Cena mentioned, of course, every change he made, the fans still hated him. And, of course, how he makes the point, what do we get? So, of course, he's referring to the fans as being, you know, selfish. Like I said, it's not like Cena was not telling the truth. But Cena is cementing his heel turn with that segment. It absolutely worked. It absolutely worked. And there was just no, like I said, there was no better way to start this show. And again, as he made his entrance, the crowd just erupted. Absolutely erupted with boos. John Cena didn't even have a smile on his face. Man. And at one point, how he was just standing in the ring silently. And several times teased, leaving the ring without saying a word. You know, if John Cena had stood in the ring for a solid 30 to 60 seconds with the mic in his hand, and all of a sudden he just drops it and walks out of the ring to that loud core of boos, well, that would have been reminiscent of the conference after Elimination Chamber. Pick up the mic, drop the mic, pick up the mic, say nothing, drop the mic, and walk out. Not a word. For a second, I was convinced. I was absolutely convinced that John Cena was not going to say one single word. Now, some would ask, did he really have to say anything? Well, if he's going to cement his heel turn, then he might as well insult the crowd, blame them, yada, yada, yada. I mean, after the segment, Michael Cole's words, well, they spoke for themselves. Those words spoke for themselves. Oh, boy. So as part of his segment, again, he had been the victim in an abusive relationship with a crowd for 25 years. John Cena went as far as to claim that he's not a babyface, nor is he a heel. He referred him to himself, or claimed himself, to be a human being. and said that every fan has been awful to him, and he went on a serious rant about how he tried to make a change after change after change, only for the fans to continue to boo him and not like him. Like I said, he's not wrong. John Cena just continued to tear and tear and tear apart the crowd with that promo. Not to mention, you know, according to some notes from Bleacher Report, one fan even had a sign that said, "Break a Wish." I mean, this is really to get to Cena. Of course, reminded, the segment lasted almost half an hour. It was well worth the time, ladies and gentlemen. Well worth the time. Well, a close friend of mine and a follower of the show would say, well, this it would have been better than having the final boss in the ring cutting a promo for 30 minutes. I just know a lot of people are not a fan of the final boss. Man, I think at one point, when John Cena even used the words, "you people," as part of his promo, I mean, it was just basically to sell his heel turn. So, again, Bleacher Report reminds us, and I was already aware of it, the real facts about how the crowd has treated him over the years. I mean, let's be honest. Over the years, the fans have not been too kind to Cena. But you know what? Then again, the fans can think what they want. I mean, then again, someone asked, I think they were booing him because they wanted to see him turn heel, but they wanted to see that a long time ago. I mean, but again, in my case, I would say since at least 2007, the fans have been booing the babyface John Cena who never gives up. And as I reminded, that match between Triple H and John Cena at WrestleMania 22, Triple H was getting cheers while John Cena was getting booed. I remember it correctly. So, John Cena was quite vocal. I mean, the reaction from the crowd just helped John Cena even better. So, there you go. There's the connection between Cena and the crowd. And this time, Cena working as a heel, really getting the fans working, and it was helping him get over as a heel. And finally, Cody came back. Well, came out, I should say. Cody came out. And Cody didn't have to say much. John Cena even at one point said to him, and I think it said, "listen, kid," before Cody screamed at him saying, "enough." So John Cena as the heel obviously trying to be condescending towards Cody by referring to him as kid, and for Cody to say, "refer to me as champion, undisputed champion." But what's really stood out there is how Cody said he wanted to face John Cena at WrestleMania. He wants to face John Cena at WrestleMania, not this, quote, whiny bitch standing in front of him. So there you go. The heel cuts the massive promo. The babyface comes out and cuts the usual mega babyface promo on the heel. Man. Cody versus John Cena at WrestleMania is only getting better and better and better. Now, I will say, I was surprised, but I wasn't surprised. The final boss was not there and was not part of the segment. Well, many would say, well, Bear Man, that's a good thing because we don't want to see the final boss. Well, okay. Clearly, I believe we're going to see the final boss cut a segment in the ring before WrestleMania. I would imagine John Cena is probably going to make at least two appearances on Raw programming before WrestleMania. He's definitely going to make at least one. I would imagine it would be the Raw right before WrestleMania. Now, the Raw before WrestleMania, I would predict that the final boss would obviously be there. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what's going to happen? But based on what I saw, okay? Again, now keep in mind, I remind everybody, this is not John Cena's first heel run in WWE. He was heel when the Doctor of Thuganomics first started. He was heel from 2002 to 2003. He was heel before. Again, as I said in that episode, he was originally, he wanted to turn heel in 2012, but it didn't happen. And I'll never forget, there was a friend that I used to work with that wanted John Cena to turn heel, and he felt that John Cena should have been the face of the Authority. Like, John Cena turns heel, joins the Authority in 2014. A friend of mine really wanted that. If we had gotten that, well, of course, back then, 21-year-old me would have absolutely hated it, but 32-year-old me would probably love it. Not gonna lie. I mean, as you grow and continue to be a lifelong passionate fan of professional wrestling, you really kind of change your status and stance on certain things, especially with the storylines and what's going on with the content. But I just cannot get enough of what we saw in this segment. If you have not seen this segment, well, honestly, you need to go see it for yourself. You have to go see it for yourself. Now, is WWE going to pull up the whole thing? Well, if I were them, I would. But it started off good, and the crowd reactions were so good, it just made John Cena's job a whole lot easier. And then basically John Cena kind of ended it by saying that he has dumped him. Again, he had been in an abusive relationship, and he had been the victim. So he finally, as the heel, he fully rejects the crowd and basically tells the crowd the same thing they told him. They said fuck you to him, and he basically said, fuck you too. There you go. Well performed. Absolutely well performed. Well, now that since I went on a bit of a tear talking about John Cena's promo, well, Seth Rollins cut a brief one talking about Roman Reigns, claimed that he had CM Punk beat and he wanted to beat CM Punk on his own. And then Roman Reigns had to get involved. Well, Rollins got straight to the point and mentioned that Punk and Roman Reigns were not there. That's a little bit of a shame. Would have been nice to see the original Tribal Chief and the best in the world, CM Punk, you know, be there. Now, of course, in the coming weeks, but you know, building up to WrestleMania, there are definitely going to be some encounters. But Seth Rollins did, in fact, reveal that Punk and Reigns are scheduled to be at SmackDown later this week in Italy. So Seth Rollins mentioned that he might take a little trip to SmackDown to see them because he has some unfinished business. Of course he does. And I will say one thing that I'm still amazingly surprised at is that Seth Rollins is still a babyface. I predicted he would turn heel after the main event of the first Raw on Netflix, you know, after losing to CM Punk. Well, I guess, you know, against CM Punk, he basically falls in between a face and a heel. We call it a tweener in wrestling. A tweener. Basically, the middle between a babyface and a heel. Not a good guy, not a bad guy, but basically the status of a vigilante. But the term tweener, it's not really exactly a word I like to use because it just sounds so freaking weird. Yeah, tweener. Seriously, think about it. A tweener. That sounds so freaking weird. I'm not going to lie. And it's just, I mean, it's part of pro wrestling terminology, but I really honestly just don't like it. But when you're an educated fan like me, you might as well go with terminology. But I will say this particular term, I'm not a particularly fan of this particular term, but based on how it's been named. So I think in some cases, Rollins, for the most part, is still a face. But against CM Punk, he's basically in the middle between a heel and a face. I mean, I guess like John Cena said, against CM Punk, Rollins is not a heel. He's not a face. He's just a guy that does not like CM Punk, but still loves the fans. Obviously doesn't like Roman Reigns either. So I'm looking forward to see what happens on SmackDown, specifically with Rollins, Punk, and Reigns. Imagine, obviously there's going to be a bit of a confrontation, but let's keep an eye out on it, shall we? Well, I don't really have much to say aside from that. Now, the main event, the Intercontinental Championship between Bron Breakker and Finn Balor. Well, tensions continue between Balor and Dominic Mysterio backstage. Something about Dominic Mysterio talking about recruiting Penta into the Judgment Day. You know, I could have sworn there was a thing like backstage that we saw Dirty Dom speaking to Karrion Kross. So I was very surprised to see that Dirty Dom mentioned about recruiting Penta. I mean, Penta in the Judgment Day. No, I do not like the sound of it. It would be horrible, and I mean absolutely horrible for business. Well, speaking of Penta, well, Penta had a good day. Penta had a good day. Now, that mystery masked luchador who's wearing the American Alpha mask, you know what? We all know who it is, don't we? No, it's not Chad Gable. It's Rey Fénix. I mean, I looked it up on the internet. It said that it was accidentally revealed recently. But I did not know until I watched this episode. I was like, no, this is definitely Rey Fénix. And I wasn't even aware that Rey Fénix had actually finally been granted his release from AEW. So, but Penta, you know, had a great match with Ludwig Kaiser. You know, Ludwig Kaiser, you know, cutting a brilliant promo as always before the match. And then after that, the post-match, Penta issuing a challenge. Well, obviously issuing a challenge to Bron Breakker for the Intercontinental Championship. But imagine that could actually happen at WrestleMania. That's assuming that Bron Breakker is done with the Judgment Day and Penta and Ludwig Kaiser have, you know, moved on from this rivalry. I mean, it was a great rivalry, I will say. Ludwig Kaiser versus Penta, to be honest with you, I sound extremely insane for saying this, but I think that Penta versus Ludwig Kaiser was quite an underrated rivalry. But now the rivalry has been settled, and it's time to move on. So Penta has his sights set for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. And speaking of the Intercontinental Championship, well, main event. Not quite match of the year material, but still a superb match. Now, I mentioned the tensions between Finn Balor and Dirty Dom backstage not long before the match, but it's what happened during the match. Dirty Dom attempting to run interference. Supposedly goes after Breakker, but also causes Finn Balor to, well, to suffer a bit of a mishap. A very, very painful mishap, mind you. So Bron Breakker regains the advantage and finishes off Finn Balor. Now you gotta ask yourself, what is gonna happen next week within the Judgment Day? Well, tensions are going to continue. Now, let's keep this in mind. You know, before I said, I basically talked about the idea along with my good friend and my business partner, Mr. Ricky Litwinkiewicz, about Malakai Black returning to WWE to take over the Judgment Day. Well, after seeing Dirty Dom backstage talking to Karrion Kross, again, we saw it. I think this is probably when Io Sky was shown making her way to the ring. Might have been somebody else, or actually maybe Ivy Nile, I'm not sure. I just remember there was a backstage segment, and in the background you saw Dirty Dom speaking to somebody, and I'm pretty sure it was Karrion Kross. So for a second I thought Karrion Kross taking over as leader of the Judgment Day. And then again, I think Karrion Kross is right now in a program with AJ Styles. So from the looks of it, I believe that AJ Styles versus Karrion Kross could happen at WrestleMania. And I'm not going to lie. I'm not thrilled about that. I'm not very, very excited about that. I mean, I have no issues with Karrion Kross. Obviously, I have no issues with AJ Styles. He's, you know, obviously one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. One of my favorites, absolute favorites. I always say that AJ Styles' phenomenal Titantron theme music is arguably the best entrance theme in the history of pro wrestling. There's obviously some other ones that I probably should also remember, but I can honestly say that, well, you know what? In my adult life, AJ Styles has the best theme music ever. But AJ Styles and Karrion Kross, look, I'm not going to lie. Look, again, no disrespect to Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross is amazing. He's great. I have no issue with him. It's just AJ Styles and Karrion Kross at WrestleMania is something I'm just not feeling, but at the same time, the bright side, in my case, is at least they've got something for Karrion Kross. Because Karrion Kross has a lot to offer. You know, the mic skills, the wrestling ability. He's a technician in the ring. He's absolutely incredible. So, at the end of the day, at least they're doing something with Karrion Kross. So, you know what? Maybe I should be a little bit more grateful for Karrion Kross and AJ Styles. Okay, I should be a little bit more grateful about that because, again, now that I'm thinking about it, at least they're doing something with AJ Styles and Karrion Kross. So I'm gonna go back a little bit. I'm gonna regress a little bit. So as I said, I'm not really excited about AJ Styles versus Karrion Kross. I will say, okay, now that I've thought about what I just thought, at least they're doing something with AJ Styles and Karrion Kross. I just hope that we see something great come out of it. If this thing can be done properly and can be done well executed, it can be well executed. Then I guess there'll be something good out of it. I mean, I'm just afraid of things just going completely awry. I don't want the thing to fall apart because this would be bad for AJ and bad for Karrion Kross. Overall, what I'm saying is, look, again, now that I think about it, I'm just grateful that there's something for both. I'm just hoping, because I'm obviously concerned that something might not go right, and sometimes that happens. I just want AJ Styles and Karrion Kross, if they're going to work a WrestleMania program, I just hope that it's done correctly. I just hope it's done correctly. But you know what? I trust AJ Styles. I trust Karrion Kross. Those two are masterful technicians. There's no doubt in my mind, they can have a great match at WrestleMania. And if this is what the plan is for them to have a WrestleMania program, then you know what? I fully changed my mind. I'm on board. You see, this happens. One second, you're not for it. But when you dig deeper and deeper and deeper and think about it a little bit more, you see, a wrestling fan's mind can be changed in the snap of a finger. And that's just what happened to me. So, you know, especially for me, because at one point, I was very, very difficult to impress. Because, you know, I'm a lifelong fan of pro wrestling. And I'm the kind of fan that if I see something that I don't like, or if something happens that is obviously that was done horribly wrong, then obviously I'm not one to shy away from speaking my mind about it. But in a lot of cases, after further discussion and thinking about things better, my mind has changed for the better, and I'm glad that I was able to convince myself that, you know what, Karrion Kross versus AJ Styles, you know what, it could actually work out very, very good. Maybe so far it is working out good. I mean, a lot of people are curious. I mean, let's be honest, while I did declare that I was not really feeling the excitement, hey, I was pretty curious about it, so I guess maybe I just decided, you know what, I am excited about it, but not as excited as I think I should be. So I stand corrected. But then again, there was a, you know, one point I thought that AJ Styles versus Bron Breakker would be something. I originally thought that Bron Breakker versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship would actually be something to materialize. I mean, it could possibly happen. Who knows? But, you know, right now I'm just going to sit back, relax, and continue to enjoy the ride. I can't just say that I'm going to sit back and enjoy the ride because I've been enjoying the ride. There's been a couple of bumps, but overall, I've been enjoying the ride. So I'm going to continue to enjoy the ride. And speaking of enjoying the ride, I hope everybody enjoyed this episode of Ringside Chaos. A reminder that you can find Ringside Chaos on Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and on YouTube. So please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. And if you would please, for those of you listening on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, if you would please leave a 5-star review, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank y'all very, very much. Y'all have a good one, and God bless.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.